Welcome into another edition of the Dana and Victory podcast, only available on musketeerreport.com. I am Rick, and for this edition of the podcast, I'm going to be joined by two special guests. But to start things out, we're going to talk about the current team with the beat writer from Cincinnati Enquirer and Cincinnati.com. Adam Baum is on the line. Adam, thank you for joining me, man. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Rick. Always a pleasure.
Well, Xavier has started their summer practices. They get 10 of these things here before they leave for their trip to Spain on August the 7th. Let's just start here. What has been your biggest takeaway from the first four practices? What's kind of the one thing that really jumps out at you?
Well, I think it's a little bit of two things. I think number one, the athleticism. Like, you know, you kind of naturally compare this season to last season. And I think the amount of athleticism on this roster, it really jumps out. And to go with that, the depth. I think last year's team was really kind of hindered by their depth and kind of the rotations that they got stuck in. I think they're going to have a lot more flexibility this year, just simply having more numbers to run out there.
Yeah, when you talk about the depth, I think last year that really kind of affected them in a couple of ways. One, at the end of halves, you know, the end of first halves, they were, when other teams were subbing a little bit more, they didn't have that deeper bench to give some of their guys a blow. I think they were losing points at the end of the first half. And then we saw multiple times, especially during their six-game losing streak in Big East play, where they lost the game in the final four-minute war. In the second half. And so I think you really saw the depth hurt them there, but it also hurt them in practice every day because of a lack of quality reps when you're going against guys that aren't as good and you don't have, you know, 10 guys out there that can really play. It takes away from how quality your practices are. So I think you're right. I mean, the depth and the athleticism just across the board, even when you're talking about some guys that might not be top of the rotation in a Dontarius James or even a walk-on like Miles Hansen, you still have guys with athleticism who can make plays and give you really good reps in practice.
Correct. And that's the thing that most people don't get to see and don't really realize is that last year, kind of watching them practice, Travis and the staff, they really had to kind of get creative to kind of divvy up the teams in practice just to kind of give themselves a look to get ready for games.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to be a problem at all this year.
No, I think that's a really good point. One of the things we've already seen is, I mean, specifically just this practice on Wednesday, at the end for the final few minutes, they matched up and went a little live action 5-on-5, and you could see just those individual matchups. They work out a lot better, and they really can throw out two pretty even teams when they divvy things up the right way. Let's talk about some of the newcomers, because you talk about added athleticism, you talk about added depth, and it has to come from these guys that, you know, that have joined the program within the last year. So first of all, we have a couple of graduate transfers, one being unique in Ohio grad transfer Jason Carter, who's going to be here for 2 years. What have you seen so far from Bryce Moore and Jason Carter? What stands out to you about those two guys?
I mean, to be honest, they both look ready. I mean, I'll start with Bryce because his situation's a little different. I mean, here's a guy who hasn't really played a college basketball game since March of 2018, and that was his junior season. He played that whole season with a torn ACL. He found out after the season, and I think he still shot 39% from three-point that year with a torn ACL. So
the
simple fact that he hasn't played a game in that long, I'm not really seeing too much rust on his game. Like, he looks pretty good right now. I think, you know, he looks like a safety out there. If you watch him play, like, his dad was an NFL player, and I really like his shot, and I think he's going to get a lot of clean looks this year on the perimeter. And then from everything that I've heard, it's kind of lived up to the hype. He's a really tough on-ball defender. I think that's going to be huge for the Xavier team, is having another guy you can run out there and rely on the defensive end. So I think that's a huge pickup for them. He's definitely going to see his fair share of minutes. And then Jason Carter, I mean, I talked to Travis the other day, and I asked him a question about is this team this year going to look different in terms of the way that they play? And the answer to that was the resounding yes, and the big reason for that was because of Jason Carter. Because, you know, last year they got into this situation where they're playing Zach Hankins and Tyreek on the floor together. They're really both more of five men. And that kind of messes with the spacing on the floor. And I think having Jason Carter at the four this year, he's going to help them spread things out and give them more space to run their offense. And I think he's going to help him go a little bit faster, too. So I've been impressed with him, too. I think if he gets his shot going, he's another guy who's going to get his fair share of clean looks from the perimeter.
Yeah, and I don't think we've even had the chance to see the best of Jason Carter yet. You know, he just arrived on campus right before the start of these practices, and it's been a lot of just installing things on offense and defense, not a ton of competition between the guys. So I think we're going to see a lot more from Jason Carter. But you mentioned Bryce Moore. I think because of the ACL injury and the surgery that he had, the first question I get from almost every fan when we talk about Bryce Moore is, does he look healthy to you? And my question, and I think you can attest to this, is always a resounding yes. I mean, he took a complete year off, as you mentioned, to rehab this. So he is well out from that surgery and his recovery and the rehab. And as you alluded to, this guy is in really good shape physically.
Yeah, he is, man. The way I kind of put it is, here, just watching him in these first few practices, he really looks like someone who is incredibly eager to make the most of what is his last college season. Like, I think he knows how good of an opportunity this is, and I think you're seeing his work ethic and kind of his passion already kind of bleed through, and I think that's a great sign for this team. Is having a guy who feels like, you know what, this might be my last run to make a go at it. I kind of want to go out with a bang. I think that's a healthy thing to add onto the roster and a guy who can play.
Yeah, and he's kind of in a unique position as well. We're going to talk about the freshman guards wings that have been added to the mix this past offseason. But he's in a unique spot because there are already veterans in front of him that are likely to start at the guard spots. And then you have these young, talented freshmen who are eager for minutes and are pretty highly touted, guys who are thought highly of throughout the recruiting process, who expect to make an immediate impact. So he really came in here, like you said, hungry. I mean, he expect to make an impact on this team, but he also kind of has to fight off these freshmen that are fighting for his minutes. So I think it's added a really good tone to the practices because he really brings it. He really feels like he's out there battling for his minutes and his opportunities, and that means he's kind of, you know, initiated some of these freshmen by fire in terms of turning up the intensity on them defensively, whereas some of the veterans in the program who have been through the wars and are kind of confident where they stand, you know, maybe they're a little more apt to take a play off and let a freshman get off easy during practice occasionally, especially these summer practices. So I do think Bryce Moore has really added something early on. Even if he doesn't make an impact during games, I think he's been a fantastic practice player so far. Let's get into the freshman. Kiki Tandy, you know, he was the highest rated of the group. His athleticism jumps off the page when you watch him just even in warm-ups or anything. What else have you seen from Kiki aside from just the off-the-charts athleticism?
Yeah, no, I think the biggest thing with him is, like, if you're just kind of watching the program at a glance, Kiki kind of seems like a little more quiet almost and kind of reserved. But when you watch him during practice, I've really liked how he's kind of sought out
instruction. And, you know, I saw it the other day last week, you know, going over and talking to Quentin, talking to Paul during drills and trying to pick things up. And like you said, I mean, the athleticism, that's, you can't teach that. So the fact that he already has that in the bag, if he really commits himself to learning the system, picking up the plays, and really selling out on the defensive end of the floor, I think he's going to get his fair share of opportunities this year. I don't think there's any way that you can kind of say,
well, maybe not this year for him. Maybe we'll give him. I think he's going to be someone that can make an impact. And I think we've seen a little bit of that. I know he's been battling, I think, a little bit of a sore heel that's kind of kept him out or limited in a few of these practices. But, you know, the talent is there. It's so easy to see when you watch him play.
Yeah, you can tell the heel's really been bothering him because his vertical only looks to be about 38 or 39 inches when they're throwing.
Yeah, and that's right where I live, you know. I live in that zone, so he should be way higher than that.
Yeah, you are an expert on that topic for sure. I really like the point you bring up about him seeking instruction. You know, he's been with the veterans, and the veterans have been really receptive and open to trying to help him. And then also, he's lived right next to Ben Johnson, and if not Ben Johnson, then Dante Jackson during these practices, asking them, you know, well, what's going on here? what should I have done if that was me, or those types of questions. And that's always good to see from a young player. Let's talk about Damier Bishop, another talented guard, a guy that, you know, he can really shoot it. I think in high school he just had the reputation as a total bucket getter. What have you seen from him so far?
I mean, it's a little bit like Kiki in the sense that, like, you can just tell he has a feel for the game. Like, his offensive stuff is super smooth, the way, you know, the way he handles the ball, the way he just spots up and shoots, and even, you know, what he does in the lane when he finishes at the rim. It's really special for a freshman. And I think he's in a similar situation as Kiki, where, you know, we saw it a little bit last year with some of the new guys, where if you're not sharp on defense, or you don't pick up the offensive plays and all the sets right away, that's going to be the thing for him. Is if he learns the system and he can play defense the way that Travis and that staff wants him to, I think there's no way that we're not going to see him contribute this year. I just think that the potential on him is really kind of unlimited. It's going to be, can you play defense and can you execute our system? And outside of that, he has all the other pieces to be a great college basketball player, I think.
Yeah, I would agree. I think the one disadvantage he has as compared to Kiki is that Kiki has a college-ready body. You know, he came in weighing about 200 pounds. Damier has to add weight. He is very, very thin. Looks very similar in terms of his physique to Elias Harden when he got to campus.
Yeah.
And, you know, but you sort of mentioned Damier and his athleticism. If it wasn't for him being in the same class as Kiki Tandy, we would probably talk up Damir's athleticism and his length a whole lot more, because he's really a pretty good athlete as well. And I think what you talk about, those two freshmen on the wing, it seems like Bryce Moore and Najee Marshall are going to be matched up a lot in practice. And I think that makes sense, because they feel that Bryce will push Najee on both ends of the court, and he has a little more experience and strength to do so. But that puts Kiki and Damier against each other. And with those two guys both vying for kind of the backup minutes on the wing, the ones that Bryce Moore won't be taking up, it's probably not a ton of room for both of them to get a lot of minutes. So it's really going to be some intense battles.
Yeah, I think that's why I'm really excited to see these practices kind of pick up more. Because, like, for the first three or so summer practices, it was really just drilling and, you know, not much competing. And this last one, I unfortunately had to miss this last practice, but that was, as you mentioned at the end, was when they really started to get into it. I know next week, I think they go like Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday to kind of close out their practice schedule. And to me, those are going to be like can't miss practices. I can't wait to see what happens.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll see a little bit more competition, although I do think they're going to limit that just because of how early it is in the season. And you don't want to take too many chances. You want to limit the exposure to, you know, guys like Najee Marshall and Quentin Gooden and Paul Scruggs from taking chances that you could get an injury or something like that. I mean, they're basketball players.
Yeah.
They're going to have to play. But you want to take it easy as much as possible when you're starting the season this early. Let's finish up real quick with the two freshmen big men. Zach Fremantle first. What have you seen from Zach Fremantle?
Well, kind of the narrative on him coming out of Bergen Catholic was his toughness. And I think so far what we've seen, that's right online. I mean, I've watched him drill against Tyreek, you know, in practice down in the low post. And it's, Tyreek eats him up a little bit because Tyreek is a defensive end out there. He's a grown man. Fremantle's another one of these freshmen that I think needs to bulk up a little bit, get a little bit stronger. But right now you can see he plays with an edge. He does play tough. He's a prototypical type big man who's not going to back down from anybody. And I have been pretty impressed with kind of his touch and his ability to finish around the rim. And to be honest, I'm sure we're going to get into this, but he's in one of the most intriguing spots to me. We talked about, you know, kind of the wings and the guards and the battles there, but who's gonna slide in at five when Tyreek gets in foul trouble or he needs a blow? You know, I think Fremantle's definitely going to be in that conversation, and that to me, that's one of the more interesting things going into the season is what's going to happen with kind of the Tyreek rotation at the five man.
Yeah, and I think it is possible that, you know, we see them go small maybe with Jason Carter at the five and Najee Marshall at the four. But then if you're doing that, you really don't have much as a backup four. So Jason Carter is then going to be on the floor constantly if you do it that way. So I think there are some things they can do, but you are going to have to play one of these two freshmen at least a decent amount, or maybe it'll be a rotation in terms of the freshman big. And Daniel Ramsey, we're not going to talk about yet because we haven't seen him practice. He has a knee situation that they're looking at. He's been on the side working with David Fluker and things of that nature, but we really haven't gotten any details about him yet. So that's why we're leaving him out of the conversation. It's not that we don't think he can play or anything. But Zach Fremantle and Deontay Miles is the other freshman big who's 6'11". I thought he was going to come in and be well behind. One, because he's so thin. He came in about only 200 pounds despite being 6'11". So you knew strength-wise he wasn't going to be where he needed to be. But then also, he's very raw in terms of his development as a basketball player, and everyone knew that on the way up through high school. He made really gained attention by being a shot blocker and just having that length and some coordination and athleticism. He's come on a lot in the last year in terms of his offensive skill. What has been your impression of Deontay Miles so far? I'm interested to hear this.
Yeah, so I mean, I tend to agree with you and kind of your assessment that you had of him. I think the thing with him that stands out to me the most is kind of the way he moves. For being 6'11", I think he is so mobile, and kind of the way he can get up and down the floor is something that's really going to benefit this Xavier team. It might not necessarily be this year, maybe not right away this year, but yeah, if he can pack on muscle and he can continue to develop, I know he's never far away from Jonas Hayes in practice. And I think the more he can kind of pick up from him and really learn and go against Tyreek and kind of feel the power that Tyreek plays with, I think that's going to benefit Deontay, because I think if he can find a way to fill out that physique and then play with physicality and blend that into his mobility and his athleticism, he has some real upside, some real potential to be a good college basketball player. Now, we're talking a lot of what ifs, but I think that kind of the writing on the wall is there for him. I think if he sticks with it, if he gets on the Matt Jennings strength and fitness program, I think that the sky's really the limit for him. I'm interested to see kind of more of the live action with him and how he really matches up with like Tyreek and Fremantle and those other bigs.
Yeah, and I mean, I think Fremantle is still clearly the favorite to earn those minutes as sort of the extra minutes at center. But Deontay is way farther along than I expected him to be, and he's held his own much better than I expected. I think the biggest thing is I expected there to be a lot more moments where he looked clueless or looked totally overmatched or just was trying to do things that weren't going to translate in the college game and what they're going to ask him to do, and just really be kind of not prepared for this level. And I've really been impressed with how just kind of solid he's been at staying within himself, doing what the coaches are asking him to do, and then what little they've put in so far, it does seem like he's retaining a decent amount. I mean, we've seen freshmen who start much slower than this and retain much less of the offense and defensive system when they're first putting it in. I don't know that he's as far as behind. Oh, he's definitely not as far as behind as I expected him to be, and I don't know that he's going to be as far as behind as the coaching staff expected when the season comes around. And now when you have Daniel Ramsey sitting out with this injury and missing the whole summer session here of practices, and we'll see when he returns to working out with the team and getting skill workouts in, it could create an interesting situation, because I don't think you can redshirt both freshman big men. You probably have to have one of them available in case of an injury or something like that.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah. And, you know, you watch, to me, another thing that stands out about Deontay, you watch him at practice, and he's very serious. He, you know, you can tell that he cares about it and that he's very much trying, as you said, to retain this stuff. And to me, that's been very impressive that he walks out on the floor. I mean, this kid's not even 18 years old yet, and he brings a very serious demeanor with him. And to your point about Daniel Ramsey, Daniel's actually probably, with the exception of Kiki, I think he's the most physically ready to play. I mean, he's already got a pretty thick body on him to play at the college level. It's just now it's a question of is the knee going to get right? Is he going to – because, you know, you talk about Deontay picking this stuff up. Well, the more time Daniel kind of misses, and that's going to really put him behind the eight ball trying to catch up. So
I think there it is a really interesting dynamic at that at the big man position this year for Xavier.
Yeah, and that's the problem for Daniel is right now things move slowly. They have time for mistakes. They have time to go back over things. Yep. They have time for you to not get it. When it comes to like the first actual practice, when we get into what October or whenever that starts,
yeah,
they don't have time for guys who don't understand the system. They've already put that stuff in. You need to know it. For the most part. I mean, you know, they'll give freshmen a little leeway, but a lot more is going to be expected of you. Things are going to be moving a lot faster, and the veterans are going to be on you a whole lot more. So I think that's the other thing. The fact that he's going to be behind, like Deontay and Zach, by a decent amount here, hopefully he's able, while he's watching on the side here, to learn some of this. But there's nothing like getting the actual reps. Let me ask you this. Out of all the guys we just talked about, including the grad transfers, who makes the biggest impact this season?
So I think the easy answer is Jason Carter, simply because I think he's probably going to get the most in terms of minutes and opportunities. But to me, there's going to be an opportunity for Bryce Moore. There's going to be opportunities for Damir and Kiki. They may be limited initially, but to me, Jason Carter is going to have an impact on this team. I think one of the things I really like about him is he's coming from a situation at OU where he was the number one guy on the scouting report for the opposition. Every single time OU played a game, whatever team they played against, pretty much priority number one was Jason Carter. Now he's going to have a little bit more space. He's not going to be the top guy on the scouting report. You know, that's reserved for Najee Marshall and Paul Scruggs. So I think he's going to have some more favorable matchups maybe. And I think, you know, when Najee and Paul and Quentin and Tyreek get all the attention out there, I think he's going to have a lot of clean looks at the basket to knock down shots. So he's going to get his fair share of opportunities and chances to make an impact. And I think that's kind of the easy answer, but that's kind of what I'm feeling right now.
Yeah, Carter is the easy answer. He's also probably the right answer. I think there is an interesting argument to be made for Bryce Moore changing this team more than Jason Carter does, perhaps, from last year. Now, granted, I don't think, you know, Ryan Wellage is the same type of player that Jason Carter is going to be for Xavier. However, I think what they missed last year more than anything was a reliable knockdown shooter. And also, they struggled so much on the defensive end. I do think adding a guy who you can look at as your stopper. You're our number one, and that slides guys who really had some great moments and had some great individual performances at times when asked to step up to the plate and guard, like a Marcus Howard, for instance, or someone like that, the Najee Marshalls and the Quentin Goodens and the Paul Scruggs. They all then slide down a guy. You know, instead of guarding the number one, they're guarding a number two or a number three now if Bryce has the number one, and that makes everybody a better defender and makes your whole team look a whole lot better. So I do think that, you know, Jason Carter is the right answer to that question right now, but Bryce Moore, there is an interesting argument for him being the most impactful guy. Let me put you on the spot again. What about the freshman? Who makes the biggest impact out of those guys?
Again, I mean, that's a little bit less clear. I mean, I think just because of the fact that I think that kind of the playing time is going to be so convoluted at the guard and the wing position, I think it's a little unclear how much time is going to be split up between those guys. I think Fremantle might have an opportunity to come in and shine. I know it's a little bit harder to come in as a big man, as a freshman, and kind of contribute, but I just think, you know, Tyreek gets tired, Tyreek gets in foul trouble, Fremantle's going to be out there. And right now, I think the way he plays with toughness, if he can finish around the rim, I think he could be a guy. But honestly, it's really hard to overlook Kiki and Damir because they are both type of guys where if they get hot, I mean, you know about Kiki from his high school prowess, and it's like we saw him at the Ohio-Kentucky All-Star game, and it's like when he gets in a rhythm, I mean, he can shoot it with anybody. So I think there's opportunities to kind of spread around there amongst the freshmen. That was a little bit harder to answer, though. I'm curious what you think.
I would say it like this. I think Zach Fremantle will have the more important minutes. His minutes will be more regular and more crucial to this team than any of the other freshmen because they really don't have a clear backup at the five other than him.
Yeah.
I think Keke Tandy, they won't have to rely upon as much, but I think he'll have more splash games, if that makes sense, where you go, oh, wow, like his potential is through the roof. He's going to be really good next year. I think we'll see a lot of that from Keke, where, you know, he scores 13 or something, and we're really impressed with the 2.5 minute spurt where he made a difference in the game. So that's how I would answer it, but I think there is some wiggle room there. Keke and Zach definitely seem like the two most ready to impact this year's team. You know, there's not much you can really take away from these practices when it comes to guys like Quentin Gooden and Najee Marshall and Paul Scruggs and Tyreek Jones and even Dontarius James to an extent, because they're installing so much stuff, and these guys, you know, they've run through this stuff literally thousands of times at this point. Has anything about the returning guys stuck out to you during these four practices?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just their willingness to kind of, like, you can, I don't know that I would say that this was the case last year. I think that last year I was a little unimpressed in kind of the way that they would all communicate and the way that they would kind of talk to each other in practice. Early on this year, I've been very impressed with the way that Quentin Gooden has gone out of his way to talk to the younger guys. Tyreek has gone out of his way. Paul and Najee have kind of gone out of their way. And I think if that tells me anything, it's how serious they are this year. It's that, you know, for Quentin and Tyreek, it's obviously their last run. It's their last season putting on that uniform. And, you know, Paul and Najee, I think that they know now that this is more their team than it's ever been. I mean, I think that they all kind of shoulder that load. But to me, that's been the thing that stood out early on, is kind of the level of care. And, like, if that makes sense or not. But I didn't always feel that as much last year as I already do this year.
Well, I think you're right. And here's the problem with that, Adam. Last year, the first time we saw those guys were real practices, were preseason practices. Yeah. That we're seeing these guys now in the middle of July for 10 practices that they know really don't matter all that much. And I would just say point blank, Najee Marshall and Quentin Gooden are different people right now than they were last year at this time, or last year when the season started and we first saw them. They just are. I mean, their mentality, their attitudes in practice, the energy that they bring, they are energy givers. And I'm not saying like last year they were energy suckers and they were awful guys to be around or anything like that, but right now, they're really impressive with the way that they carry themselves. Last year, I wouldn't have criticized the way they carried themselves, but it's a night and day difference. I mean, they look like totally different people right now, and they have been very helpful, I think, for the freshmen and helping those guys along, very patient. And a lot of times when you're going through this install stuff, you know, I was here 4 years ago when they went on the last trip to Puerto Rico, and it's a lot of eye rolling and a lot of walking through and not really paying attention because, again, you've gone over it 1,000 times. These guys, even when they're not in the walkthrough, they're standing on the sidelines cheering and pointing stuff out to freshmen and staying engaged and locked in. And that has really stood out to me as well. So I'm glad you brought that up. I just think that's probably the biggest question mark for me going into this year's season is how are those guys going to mesh and play together? Because last year it didn't work out. I think they're better than what they showed last year. But at the end of the day, they're still the guys that have to take this team to where it wants to go. It's not as good as the newcomers may be. They're not the difference makers. It's the returning guys that we already saw last season. And things didn't work out for those guys last season. So as much as there's optimism and with good reason, I think there's still a huge question mark in how those guys handle themselves and work together. And I'd say so far, the feedback could be nothing but positive.
Yeah, and to your point, let me ask you this. How many games do you think last year where we saw Quentin Gooden, Paul Scruggs, Najee Marshall, and Tyreek Jones, like, all play well on the same night? How many times do you think we saw that?
Very rarely, if ever. I mean, I can't really recall. Maybe correct. Villanova. Yeah. I don't even remember how that game went. I just know they won it unexpectedly.
Yeah, and to me, there were way too many times last year where Najee would have a great game, but Paul would turn it over 8 times, or Quentin would turn it over 7 times and score 2 points. It's like, to me, this team is going to go as far. If those four guys can be on the same page and put solid performances together on the same night, to me, this can be a really, really good basketball team. But if they have too many games where it's Paul Scruggs with 4 points and 6 turnovers, and, you know, Tyreek has
goes 0 for 11 from the foul line for 4 points, and he fouled. Like, to me, that's going to be a very telling indicator of how this season is going to go, is if those guys can all be on the same page and really, really bring out their best basketball together on the same night.
Is that your biggest concern for this team?
I don't know that it's my biggest concern. I would say that's going to be one of the things to watch. The other things to watch to me are how they take care of the ball, because I feel like last year they flat out gave away some games with turning over the basketball.
That's fair.
And then the other thing is, I think defending the 3-point line. I think last year we saw them get torched a lot, and to me it looks way worse when you're giving up threes at one end and you don't have the ability to really knock them down at the other end. That's like a really ugly thing to kind of watch. So to me, those are the three big things this year.
I think I have a good idea based on what we've talked about, but who is your starting five at this point if you had to start the season?
Yeah, I think I'm probably in the majority here who would say Quentin, Paul, Najee, Jason Carter, and Tyreek. But, you know, who knows what's going to happen. I think that's a safe bet at this point, though.
What's the most fun position battle to watch, in your opinion?
Ooh, well, I think from a pure entertainment standpoint, it's probably going to be watching Bryce Moore and Najee, or watching Quentin and Paul, or Kiki and Dami, or so probably that wing guard spot. I think that's going to be the most entertaining. But I think we're going to learn a lot about the freshmen by watching how they can play against Tyreek, honestly, because Tyreek is just, I mean, if you come watch a practice right now, it's like Tyreek is a man out there, and he's kind of going against these freshmen who haven't bulked up yet and haven't put on weight. So it's a little bit funny looking to kind of watch them go at each other, but that's how you learn, and that's how you get better at that big man spot, is by getting bullied around by someone who's been around the block. So
they are not going to let fans into the games in Spain, but they are going to stream them on flowhoops.com, so we will get a chance to watch them. I'm sure you will be doing so, as will I. Adam, what are you most interested to see or find out about this team while they're in Spain?
That's a good question. I think it's because it's so early on in the season and because these games don't count, I'm really eager to see their level of competition. Like, it would be very easy for me to watch them go over to Spain and be, you know what, we're on vacation, these games don't count, let's just get them over with, go out and kind of see the scenery and take it all in. But if they go out there and they kind of sell out and we get some solid effort out of these guys, I think that could be the type of thing that they can snowball like right into the regular season. If they go over there and they lay some eggs and they look flat and they don't look like they care all that much, that's really not what I want to see out of this team over there.
Yeah, and I don't expect, you know, they are going to be playing tougher competition than they've seen in past trips when they've gone overseas the last two times and played like B or even lower divisions in whatever country they're in. This is supposed to be like A-level competition, so actual professionals in Spain. So
yeah,
they could find themselves in more difficult games, which maybe means they play the starters a little more. But my guess is they're going to want to see the younger guys as much as possible, limit the wear and tear on the starters. And so because of that, I'm most interested to see, well, without question, it was going to be Kiki Tandy and Damir Bishop. See who kind of has the edge in that matchup early, because I think that's going to be kind of the biggest battle for minutes throughout the year. But over the last 2 weeks now, I've kind of been won over by the idea of watching Zach Freeman on Deontay Miles, just because Deontay Miles is intriguing me a lot more than I thought he would at this point. So I think those are kind of the two things I'm most interested to see.
Yeah, man. I couldn't agree more. I think the fact that we have all these newcomers and kind of figuring out how they all fit together, it's a good time for this trip, and it's going to be fun to see that early on. And then, you know, we're going to be able to compare that to 2 months from now and 3 months from now and kind of really see how they fall together, if they can all fit in amongst each other, you know?
Absolutely. Adam, do you have anything upcoming on Cincinnati.com that fans should be looking out for?
So I got pretty much what we just did on this podcast. I got a little thing coming out where I just take a look at each player and kind of look at what they need to do this coming season, what I've seen so far in these early practices.
And then, you know, we got a few things in the pipeline here. This coming Monday is actually 1 year to the day since Juwan Odom verbally committed to Xavier. So I got a chance to talk to him on the phone this past week and kind of catch up with him, find out, you know, what life has been like since he committed to Xavier, what those relationships are like, and kind of what he's looking for to add to that 2020 class with him and CJ Wilcher right now. So some cool stuff. Juwan Odom, I mean, I can't wait until he's around. I really enjoyed talking to him. He's a smart young man, and he's obviously a special talent.
Yeah, I think you get a guy like that who's so talented to commit so early. Fans are immediately, you know, they get negative about it and are like, well, how long is that going to last? When is he going to decommit? But I will say, from every interaction I've had with him, the people around him, he seems very much committed to Xavier, and it seems like it couldn't get more solid at this point.
Yeah, from talking to him, I would say, you know, obviously you never want to assume anything, like, you know, what's going to happen, but he spoke so highly of Xavier and the coaching staff, and I know he loves CJ Wilcher, and he talked to me a bunch about the other guys that he would love to get in that class with him. So it's like, to me, to hear a guy talking like that about the school that he plans on attending, it sounds like he's still pretty serious about Xavier.
Adam, great stuff as always, man. Really appreciate you joining me. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the time, Rick.
All right, as we move from the current team to the future Musketeers, we welcome in the legend Brian Snow, who is driving right now from Indianapolis to Cincinnati. Snow, first of all, the Musketeers, five-man class in 2019. That class was ranked 25th in the country. They have two guys committed so far in 2020. That class is currently ranked 5th in the country, which doesn't mean a whole lot other than they're off to a pretty good start. Let's talk about those two guys that are already committed first. Juwan Odom, he was the first guy to commit. He committed really early. He's currently ranked 44th in the country by our national scouts. What type of spring and summer did Juwan have?
You know, he had a good one. Certainly NBA camp, that was probably the shining moment for Juwan. He was maybe the best guard in attendance, absolutely dominated the camp, dominated games. So he was really good there. But honestly, this is kind of the spring and summer we expect from a kid who's a top 50 type prospect. You know, he still doesn't shoot it well, so there's a cap on how high he's going to be ranked because he's about 6'1". So, you know, it's not like he's Jason Kidd out there at 6'4" or whatever who can't shoot, even though Jason Kidd became an all-time three-pointers make leader type guy in the NBA. But nonetheless, I'm digressing. So I don't see his ranking changing. But he, you know, he had a good spring and summer. He's someone who should be able to come in right away and compete for big minutes at Xavier. And, you know, he's the type of floor general you really want. And then defensively, he's really going to be ready to make an impact with his size, athleticism, toughness, and strength.
CJ Wilcher was the second guy in the class to commit. He committed in early June. He's ranked 137th in the 2020 class. What type of spring and summer did he have?
You know, his spring was very inconsistent. Rick, as you saw and as we talked about on the message board, you know, he would have some good shooting games, some bad shooting games, and when you're known as a shooter, when you don't shoot well, that's not a good thing. With that said, as it turned into later in the spring into the summer, CJ really picked up. I think he shot around 42% down in Augusta, Georgia, where his team was participating at the beginning of July from three. So, you know, it really came along well. I think CJ is one of the best shooters in the country. And after a little bit of a shooting funk at the beginning of April, things picked up for him as the spring and summer progressed.
Now, obviously, when the fans hear that these guys play well in AAU events, especially when there's a lot of media coverage and they see tweets and everything, the question they all want to know is, are they going to move up in the rankings? And you kind of alluded to it with Juwan Odom. He's already ranked pretty high, and he did about what you would expect out of him. So I get the sense you don't think he's probably due for a bump in the rankings. What do you think about CJ Wilcher?
He can move a few spots up or down either way, but I think general stability is going to happen there. CJ certainly got a chance to move up. We haven't discussed rankings at all, but our question was, I think in the spring, his overall shooting percentage from three between two AAU teams was around 31-32%. And that completely changed this summer. And we know he could shoot, but it was disconcerting to see him at the highest level, 17 and under, which he had never played before. So start to struggle with his shot. So you start to wonder, is it athleticism catching up? And I think it was just, you know, he had a few bad weeks. So I think there's a chance C.J. Welcher could go up, but again, we haven't had any discussions in that regard.
And with those two guys already committed, you know, you talk about numbers of scholarships and everything like that. We know that is always kind of a fluid situation, and you don't necessarily go by how many quote-unquote spots are left. But it seems like they're probably looking for two more guys. Does that seem accurate?
Certainly, I think the goal number is four, and then there's going to be a fifth spot that maybe is a wild card, either for like a project-type player with high upside or a really, really good player, maybe like a Kareem Manet out of Canada. So we'll have more about that on the message board here in the coming weeks, what they might plan to do if indeed they get their priority targets at the other two positions. Kind of how are they going to approach that potential fifth spot, which inevitably they're going to have because there will be attrition, whether it's players going to the NBA, players transferring, you know, whatever it might be. You know, it's college basketball. It's Xavier. I'm reminded all the time that Xavier fans have the most agonizing all seasons in the world, even if I don't necessarily understand why.
And of course, I mean, even if that spot isn't used on an incoming freshman, it could be used for a transfer, a grad transfer, something of that nature. So in terms of priorities, what do you think they're looking for with those couple of spots left in the 2020 class?
Clearly, they want to win. You have to protect yourself. I mean, the two most talented players on your team are Paul Scruggs and Najee Marshall. Both of them have tested the NBA waters. Both of whom are basically wings. There's no guarantee one, both, or either will be back for the 2021 season or whatever the heck we would call it. So Xavier definitely needs to add another wing. I think that's the top priority right now. And then also a power forward is key. Now they're going to have Jason Carter returning next year, so they've got a starter there, and then maybe Dontarius James makes a jump. We don't know. But I think they want a power forward with some versatility, either a guy who can play the four and the five or a guy that can stretch the floor a la Kaiser Gates as a four, you know, with some three tendencies to him.
With it feeling like there are pretty clearly two spots that they're looking at, give me a couple names for each spot of the guys at the top of the list, in your opinion.
Yeah, to me, Colby Jones, certainly. He's out of Birmingham, Alabama, Mountain Brook High School. He's kind of emerging right now. We're going to have more on his situation. I think things could move quickly one way or another there, and there'll be constant information then over the next couple weeks on Colby Jones. And then Niles Lane, a kid from New Jersey. He's actually high school teammates now with C.J. Welcher, an elite athlete who's very high on Xavier. There's going to be some upcoming visits, so that'll be one to track. Then a kid from California, Jalen Clark. Jalen's a tough kid. You don't say that often about kids from California, but he is. And the reason why is because, you know, he's got some Ohio blood to him. His mom went to Ohio State. So obviously people from Ohio State are just known for toughness. So he's got that. And he's a kid, you know, it seemed like a long shot, and I still think it is, but Jalen Clark's gaining some momentum, and I think there's a chance Xavier could get him on campus. And he's probably the most talented of the three, to be perfectly honest. Now, is his timeline going to match up? You know, at the end of the day, is he going to realize that Cincinnati, Ohio is not real close to Los Angeles? We'll find out. But there'll be more on that over the next month or so as well.
Yeah, and you've had some recent updates that are pretty good on the premium message board at musketeerreport.com. What about the forward position? Who are kind of the names to watch there?
I would say the two biggest names right now are Jalen Bridges out of West Virginia and Ben Carlson out of Minnesota. Both of them probably plan to take visits to Xavier. Both of them have Xavier in their top group. Things can move quickly there as well. Now, how quickly is still up for debate, but those are the two names. Bridges is more of the Kaiser Gates 4-3 type. Ben Carlson's more of a 4-5 who can be a matchup problem. So both of them are really, really good, and Xavier's been recruiting them for a while. Ben Carlson, in fact, has already made one official visit to Xavier. Due to NCAA rules, he can now make a second one, which is the anticipation. So we'll have to monitor that situation very closely as well.
You already mentioned Kareem Manet as a potential like wild card type guy who might just be so good that if you can pull it off, you're going to take him regardless of his position. Are there any other sort of wild card names out there that you think fans should keep an eye on?
You know, Matt Nicholson, a big center out of Michigan. He's from Michigan. That is a different state than Minnesota.
People forget,
you know,
that.
He's come on late. He's about 6'10", 6'11", really long arms, got some vertical explosion, but he needs time. And then also a kid, Kebron Powell out of Evansville, Indiana. He's about a 6'9", 200-pound center. Now, he can't score at all in terms of, like, throwing it to him on the block, but he's a really good shot blocker, can switch ball screens, another kid that would need time. So I think those two names are potentially kids at the center position that, depending on what Xavier thinks of guys like Deontay Miles and Daniel Ramsey and Zach Fremantle, you know, I think that could depend on in what direction they go with that spot.
Fans are always kind of looking for, okay, well, what's next? We've got the guys committed. What's the next date to be looking for? I'm not maybe asking for a specific date, but is there kind of a timeline here that you feel like the Musketeers are on going over the next couple weeks or months?
You know, it's going to be interesting. The beginning of August is going to be unique because Xavier's going to be practicing, and I think they're going to try to work in an official visit or two at the beginning of August before they leave for Spain. Then obviously they go for Spain, and when they come back from Spain, I think they're going to try to get the rest of their top targets on campus. And so the month of August is going to be really intriguing. You know, you've got the Spain trip, you have recruiting in the 2020 class. And then the other thing that is interesting is different compliance departments have different rules in terms of visits, but Xavier's compliance department has ruled that 2022 prospects can begin taking unofficial visits to their campus starting in some date in August. I can't remember which one. So I think you're going to see maybe a kid like Paul McMillan make the long and excruciating journey from Woodward over to Xavier for an unofficial visit and players like that. So that'll be the first time some of the younger targets just beginning on the radar are going to be on campus.
What do you think the likelihood is that they'll have four guys in the fold on signing day in November?
High, extremely high. This is one of the most organized recruiting staffs in the country. They proved to be one of the best recruiting staffs in the country, to be perfectly honest with you. And I think there's no doubt that they're going to get to their target number of four. Now, what's that combination of guys going to look like? I'm not exactly sure, but it's going to happen.
Just briefly here, any early names to watch in 2021?
Yeah, you know, Logan Duncombe from Moeller, he's a big kid. He lives up in the Mason area, so, you know, it's a fairly quick commute. I think he's emerging. You have a kid, Luke Goody, out of Indiana. He's a shooter with size. Trey Kaufman is a kid that they've offered from just outside Louisville and Sellersburg, Indiana. He's kind of a pick-and-pop four-man with a whole ton of upside. I would say those are a few names that have really emerged already, and there's certainly going to be more. You know, Ben Johnson will have some guys from Minnesota. Maybe Kendall Brown emerges. Obviously, Jonas Hayes is going to be down in the Carolinas. I know he likes Carter Witt as well as Georgia, where, you know, there's always a lot of talent. And then, you know, Casey Simmons is a kid from the prep schools up in Massachusetts who Travis Steele really liked when he saw him in Birmingham, and Dante Jackson's been recruiting that area very hard for Xavier. So that's someone I could really see emerging onto the radar here soon. But, you know, 2021 is 2021. It's a little bit ways away, but, you know, Xavier's going to work hard to, you know, get an early start there.
So we'll continue to track all those 2020 names as they move forward with visits and get closer to decision time, and as well as update you on some of these 2021 names as we learn more about them and they start making more visits. Snow, you haven't been to any of the four summer practices yet, but you have some close relationships with people inside the program. Have you heard any rumblings or anything on the current team before I let you go here?
You know, general happiness is how I would describe it. Obviously, right now it's a lot of install type stuff, so there hasn't been much competition at all. And I think the coaching staff, they're really worried about putting too much competition in this early and wearing guys down and things of that nature. But they're going to begin to ramp that up a little bit. But there's been a lot of talk about Jason Carter making a huge difference for this team, the grad transfer from Ohio. A lot of happiness with him. And then the leadership that Quentin Gooden has shown is another thing that has really, really been on the radar and something that's made a big impression on the coaches.
All right, good stuff as always. You've been listening to another edition of the Dana and Victory podcast. For the legend, Brian Snow and Adam Baum, I'm Rick. Thanks for listening, everyone.